Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 2019 Annual General Meeting of Shareholders of BCE. My name is Gordon Nixon, and I'm very pleased to once again preside over this meeting as your chair of the BCE Board of Directors. And I will now call the meeting to order. The business of the meeting will be conducted in both English and French. We have made available to you headsets for the simultaneous translation of today's proceedings. If you need a headset, please raise your hand and we will get one to you. I'm now happy to introduce the people who are on stage with me today. To my far left is George Cope, our President and Chief Executive Officer. Beside George is Glenn LeBanc, our Chief Financial Officer. And to my left is our General Counsel and Corporate Secretary, Michel Lalonde. Also attending today's meeting are members of your Board of Directors, who will be introduced shortly, as well as members of our senior management team and representatives of our auditors, Deloitte. I will first ask Michel to take us through some formalities of the meeting. Michel?
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can report that Mr. Bertrand Gély and Ms. Isabelle Vachon, employees of AST Trust Company, have been appointed to act as scrutineers at this meeting.
In registering for the meeting today, all shareholders should have received a ballot to vote. Please note that you do not need a ballot if you already voted by proxy and do not wish to change your vote. If you don't have a ballot, please raise your hand. Si vous n'avez pas reçu de bulletin de vote, veuillez...
If you have not received a ballot, please raise your hand.
Veuillez noter qu'afin de faciliter le déroulement de vote, nous avons demandé...
Please note that in order to facilitate the voting process, we have asked certain registered shareholders and proxy holders to present and second motions for some items on the agenda.
A proxy holder who wishes to address the chair with respect to an item being discussed should, at the appropriate time, go to one of the microphones located in the aisles. You should state your name and whether you are a shareholder or a proxy holder before presenting your question or comment. If you prefer to wait to ask a question or make a comment, or if your question or comment does not relate to the item being discussed, there will be a general question and comment period immediately after our President and CEO's address.
A shareholder or proxy holder who wishes to address the chair should come to one of the microphones in the room. Please state whether you're a shareholder or a proxy holder before asking your question or making your statement. If you prefer to wait to ask a question or make a comment, or if your question or comment does not relate to the item being discussed, there will be a general question and comment period immediately after our President and CEO's address.
I'd like to bring your attention to the notice appearing on screen. Les commentaires...
Today's remarks will contain forward-looking statements. These are based on several assumptions and are subject to important risks. The notice on the screen contains a cautionary statement in this regard and is issued on behalf of each speaker whose remarks today will contain forward-looking statements.
Merci, Michel. And once again, thank you, everyone, for joining us here today in Toronto. I'm very pleased to say that Canada's largest city now boasts the highest number of pure fiber connections in the country, with more than 1 million locations now served by the Bell 5 network. Since our founding in 1880, Bell has been the engine of Canada's leadership in communications, investment, and innovation. Bell's millions of all fiber connections in communities large and small across 7 provinces and our industry-leading wireless network serving greater than 99% of the national population are directly driving Canada's social and economic growth. For the millions of individual households we serve, up to the largest enterprises in the country, Bell has the scale required to provide the fast, secure, and reliable networks that are the state of the art today and ready to evolve into the future. Of course, outstanding networks are key to outstanding results in what is a highly competitive communications marketplace. And Bell's leading operational performance is delivering the strong and consistent financial results that fuel our long-range broadband strategy while enabling ongoing dividend growth for you, our shareholders. The Bell team welcomed approximately 700,000 net new broadband, wireless, internet, and TV customers in 2018, the most in our industry, and an outstanding 32% increase from the prior year. Growth in revenue and adjusted EBITDA and in free cash flow that drives our capital investment and shareholder value objectives were all in line with the guidance we had provided for 2018. In February this year, BC announced another 5% increase to its common share dividend to $3.17, effective with the upcoming Q1 2019 payment on April the 15th. This is the 15th increase to the BC common share dividend since the end of 2008, representing 11 consecutive years in which BC has delivered 5% or higher dividend growth while maintaining our dividend payout ratio within the range of 65 to 75% of our free cash flow. Total dividend growth for this period has been 117%, supporting a total shareholder return of 261% over the past 10 years, outperforming most North American peers and offering more than double the return of the S&P/TSX Composite Index. BC's healthy balance sheet, strong liquidity position, and stable investment-grade credit profile ensure we have the financial flexibility to execute our business plan and our capital markets objectives. In keeping with a company-wide focus on achieving a competitive cost structure, we continued to reduce the cost of our debt in 2018. We raised $1.5 billion in growth proceeds from 7- and 10-year medium-note debenture issuances and $1.5 billion U.S. in gross proceeds from a 30-year note, the first public debt financing by Bell Canada in the U.S. market in more than 20 years. Together, these offerings lowered our after-tax cost of publicly issued debt securities to 3.1%. We further bolstered the strong solvency position of our defined benefit pension plan with a voluntary cash contribution that significantly reduces our future obligations and aligns the plans of our subsidiaries with that of Bell Canada's fully funded plan. Now, I can say this for the first time in over a decade, that we do not foresee any additional voluntary cost funding requirements in 2019. BC is one of Canada's most widely held public companies, a top employer, and one of the leading brands in the nation. We take great pride in each of these roles and are committed to maintaining Bell's place as a corporate leader in good governance and in social responsibility. More than 52,000 Bell employees are at work in every province and every territory across the country, ensuring Canadians are connected, informed, and entertained wherever they may be. Bell is proud to be considered a workplace of choice. We promote leadership in mental health through Bell Let's Talk. We are committed to workplace diversity and inclusion, and we are proud of our leadership in environmental sustainability. Bell has been formally recognized as a top 100 Canadian employer, one of Canada's greenest workplaces, and a leading diversity employer, and one of the best places to work for young people. Our President and Chief Executive Officer, George Cope, will share more with you about how Bell's team is leveraging our leadership in network performance, service innovation, and content creation to drive dividend growth in our businesses and ensure that Canada can fully embrace the opportunities of a broadband future. It has been and is my privilege to serve as your chair, and I am honored to partner with a group of highly effective board colleagues, defined by their experience and wisdom, hard work, and abiding dedication to the outstanding governance of your company. On behalf of our shareholders, I offer my sincere thanks to our board of directors. The Bell legacy is one of creation, innovation, and service. We look forward to building on it as we deliver for our customers, community, employee team, and for you, the shareholders, who have enabled this great company's great success. So on behalf of everyone at BCE and the Bell Group of Companies, we thank you for your support. The meeting today will proceed as follows. After confirming the establishment of the quorum, we will proceed with the receipt of the 2018 consolidated financial statements and our auditor's report. We will then vote on the election of the board of directors, the appointment of our auditors, and the advisory resolution on executive compensation. Our president and chief executive officer, George Cope, will then address the meeting, following which we will announce the results of those votes. And finally, we will conclude the meeting with a question and comment session. So starting with agenda item number one, the scrutineers have provided me with their report on attendance, which will be filed with the records of this meeting. The attendance report, together with the proxies, which I hold, confirm that at least 25% of the outstanding shares of BCE entitled to vote are present in person and by proxy at this meeting. I therefore declare this meeting to be properly constituted for the transaction of such business as may properly be brought before it. The next item on the agenda is item two. The BC Annual Report for the year 2018 contains the consolidated financial statements with the auditor's report thereon. A copy of the 2018 Annual Report will be filed with the records of this meeting. We have with us today representative from your auditors, including Mr. Pascal Lamoureux, Mr. Paul Fletcher, partners of Deloitte's, as well as Mr. Glenn LeBlanc, our Chief Financial Officer, to answer any questions you may have regarding or relating to our financial statements. Are there any questions relating specifically to our financial statements? Our auditors did a good job. The next item of business on the agenda is the election of our directors. There are 14 directors to be elected, and 14 eligible candidates have been nominated. We would now ask that each of the nominees stand as I call her or his name and remain standing until all nominees have been introduced. Mr. Barry Allen, Ms. Sophie Brochu, Mr. George Cope, Mr. David Dennison, Mr. Robert Dexter, Mr. Ian Greenberg, Ms. Catherine Lee, Ms. Monique Leroux, Mr. Kalen Rovinescu, Mr. Robert Simmons, Mr. Paul Weiss, along with Robert Brown and Karen Sheriff, who could not be with us, unfortunately, today, as well as myself, Gordon Nixon. These are your board nominees. Are there any questions relating specifically to the election of directors? Seeing none, I would now ask Lynn Roy to propose the election of the nominees for the 14 directors positioned to be filled at today's meeting.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Lynn Roy, and I'm an employee and proxy holder. I move that the 14 persons named as nominees in the management proxy circular be elected directors of BCE Inc. until the end of the next annual shareholder meeting or the date they cease to hold office.
Tina Thorne, can you please second this motion?
Mr. Chair, I'm Tina Thorne, and I'm an employee and a shareholder. I second the motion.
Thank you, Tina. We will now proceed with the vote. I would ask Michelle to review the voting procedures.
Merci, Monsieur Le.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Already voted by proxy, your vote will already have been compiled by the scrutineers, and you do not need to vote again. Je vous rappelle que si...
Remind you that if you have already voted by proxy, your vote will already have been compiled by the scrutineers, and you do not need to vote again.
So please take the ballot and place a check mark or X in the box labeled for or withhold next to each nominee's name. Hold on to your ballot as it will only be collected after the last vote is completed. Veuillez prendre le bulletin de vote et inscrire.
Please take the ballot and place a check mark or X in the box labeled for or withhold next to each nominee's name. hold on to your ballot, as it will only be collected after the last vote is completed.
Thank you, Michel. We are now at agenda item number 4, the appointment of our auditors. Are there any questions regarding the appointment of the auditors? Seeing none, I would ask Lynn Watt to propose the appointment of Deloitte as the auditors of BCE.
And I'm both an employee and a proxy holder. I move that Deloitte be appointed as auditors of BC until the next annual shareholder meeting.
Thank you, Lynn. Where are we? Do we need a seconder for that motion? Peggy Perry. Okay, so Peggy Perry, can you please second the motion?
Mr. Chair, my name is Peggy Perry. I'm an employee and a shareholder. I second the motion.
Thank you, Peggy. We will now proceed with a vote. Michel?
Merci, Monsieur le Président. So once again, please take the ballot and place a check mark or X for the appointment of the auditors in the box labeled for or withhold. Veuillez prendre.
Please take the ballot and place a check mark or X for the appointment of the auditors in the box labeled for or withhold.
Your ballot until all votes are completed. Veuillez conserver votre bulletin jusqu'à ce que le dernier.
Please hold on to your ballot until all votes are completed.
Thank you, Michel. The next item on the agenda is the advisory vote on BC's approach to executive compensation. We are very proud that our approach to executive compensation, which is based on the fundamental principle of pay for performance, has been endorsed by an overwhelming majority of our shareholders since we started holding say-on-pay votes in 2010. Are there any questions regarding the advisory vote on executive compensation? I would now ask Carolyn King to move the approval of the advisory resolution on executive compensation.
Mr. Chair, my name is Carolyn King. I am an employee and a shareholder. I move that the advisory resolution on executive compensation be approved.
Thank you, Carolyn. Michelle Mendez, can you please second this motion?
Mr. Chair, my name is Michelle Mendez, and I'm an employee and a shareholder. I second the motion.
Thank you. Now to the vote. Michelle?
Merci. Once again, please take the ballot and place a check mark or X in the box labeled for or against the advisory resolution on executive compensation.
Please take the ballot and place a check mark or X in the box labeled for or against the advisory resolution on executive compensation.
Merci, Michel. The question submitted to a vote being completed, I ask that representatives of AST collect the ballots. The results will be announced before the question and comment period. Thank you. I will now ask George Cope, our President and Chief Executive Officer, to address the meeting.
Thank you, Gore. Well, good morning, everyone. First of all, welcome all of our shareholders, employee members, and a special shout out for Bell retirees that are in the audience, and thank you for your years of service to the company. Your company is in a tremendous position right now in the marketplace. We just reported very solid first quarter results. We'll see how the markets view them, but the CEO thinks they were solid, and we'll see what happens. But actually off to a great start, seriously. What I thought I would do, as I've done in the past, over the next 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, just give everyone an update on how we're doing, where we're investing your capital, what we're doing to make sure we're returning enough to you as shareholders and from a dividend perspective. And it's just a very, very exciting time in our industry and for your company. So let's begin. As Gord commented on, you really can never not let me just try again. You really can never stand up here and not acknowledge the incredible history this company has in Canada, established in 1880. And, you know, this a product group here that we've been involved with. And if there's anyone in the room still using that gold product, I guarantee you we can update it for you. All of these, it's incredible, the transformation of our product and the transformation of this company since 1880 to today being Canada's largest communications company with close to $23 billion of revenue and $85 billion of enterprise, just very, very significant numbers in our country. But I always call this out, one, because of the incredible work our team members do, but also to remind us all of the importance of this company to Canada, not just from a shareholder perspective, that one out of 350 Canadians who work in Canada actually work for our company. So our responsibilities for customer service and shareholder returns and investment are important, but also obviously our investments to the fabric of the economy and employment in Canada. I think what's remarkable is always our revenue constant change and how your company is adapting to this broadband world. The fact that 8% of our total revenue would be that traditional home phone in some senses continues to be stunning to me when you think about our history. Wireless, our fastest growth business at 36% of our revenue, and broadband, TV, and internet, our largest business at 37% of our business. And the fact that our media business is now larger than our traditional phone business just gives you a sense of how quickly the industry is evolving and how your company is capturing a share in these fast-growing areas of the industry. Now, many of you will know we embarked on a very clear strategy for our shareholders, for our employees, for the investment community about 10 years ago now. And we laid out six strategic imperatives. And everything we do as a company with your money is invest in these six areas. This is really our focus every day. And I think you can see if you look at the list, I'm going to comment on both of them. If we're successful for you in executing on those six imperatives, then the shareholder returns should come, our clients should be happy with our service levels, and the enterprise itself should be in a very good spot for all of our employees. So that is really what our focus has been and continues to be. And so we measure ourselves by those imperatives, and I'm going to spend a few minutes now, as I have in past years, just to give you an update on how we're doing on each of these. I'll try again. There we go. None of these are ranked in importance, but I think it would be hard to say that investing in our networks is not at least our core of what we do, the investment in broadband networks. Our most strategic on the wireline side being our bold direction a number of years ago now to begin building fiber to every single home and every single business that we can get to economically with fiber right to the premise. And we're about halfway through that journey, which is tremendous. We're halfway there. It's technology that to connect that home or business costs us, so costs you, about $2,000 for every time we connect that home, putting many people to work, and we're halfway through the journey. So we still have about another $10 billion of investment to make to bring fiber to all the businesses and homes we plan to over the next 5 years. When that is complete, there will be no network in the world that is established the way ours is for you as shareholders. There is no technology on the horizon that touches what fiber does to the home and to businesses for people in terms of using our products and services. We're halfway there. We're seeing the numbers already, the results in a market like Toronto that Gord commented on and many other markets. And the external world is starting to recognize that. Recently, PC Magazine ranked our internet services, as you can see, significantly faster than our largest competitors. And that's only going to distance itself with what we're planning to do with this fiber technology. And really, to think about it, if you've been a long-term shareholder, think about the internet as our new voice home phone business of the future. That is where our future is and where obviously the world is going and where we're investing your capital on the wireline side. One of our new investments that we're really excited about is this program we're going to do now in many of the rural communities that we serve. You know, one of our challenges in the rural communities is this fiber technology is just too expensive to make work in the rural communities. I mean, we would be spending $10,000 to connect, you know, if you think of some of our rural communities with farms, et cetera, in the country. The good news is there's new technology in the wireless world that allows us to offer fixed wireless services to the home now that will give those communities speeds of 25 to 100 meg speeds, which is pretty close to at least the chart that I showed you before in terms of where we are today. And we've announced that we're going to do 1.2 million homes and businesses with this technology over the next number of years. And now with your shareholder hat on, you need to know in those markets, we only probably have about 10% market share there because people really have, you know, in those markets, some of them have dial-up internet services. And so this changes the game dramatically. Part of this is a result of the capital cost allowance program that was put in place recently in the federal government where we have an accelerated capital cost allowance advantage that was put into the capital markets to keep Canada competitive, and we are taking advantage of that and investing in these rural communities. And this year we're going to do actually 200,000 of the 1.2 million communities, and you can probably pick out communities here that you know and you can see where they would be. It's just going to make a huge benefit for us as shareholders and obviously in these marketplaces and bringing this technology to these premises. On the wireless side or our wireless business, we're doing this, a very similar strategy to what we've done with fiber on the wireline side, and that is providing Canadians wireless speeds that are really quite frankly phenomenal. As we exit this year, 60% of the country will have access to speeds that are almost 750 meg speeds. So to put it in context, today our network is generally ranked twice as fast as any wireless network in the United States. And this will only add to that distance. So we know of one other country in the world that's offering speeds that Bell's wireless network is offering today. We're investing significant capital to keep that leadership position in the marketplace and make sure Canadians have access to world-leading wireless technologies going forward for both business and consumers. There's a real exciting world just around the corner called 5G. I don't know in my 30 years of the career if I've ever heard anything quite more hyped than 5G, but I mean, ultimately it will be very exciting, but it's not today. Over the next 24 months, you'll start to see investments, and it really is the next leg of wireless technology, and it will make our phones do things that we could never imagine from a speed perspective. It will be very, very important for us in the business market. You know, if you think about ultimately where we have cars where we're not driving and we're in the vehicle, there's going to be an enormous amount of video consumption. And to have that type of video consumption, you're going to need these type of advanced networks. And rest assured, Bell is working with the major auto manufacturers across the world, securing that those vehicles have Bell access for consumers versus our competitors. And you're going to hear more about that. But we're making great strides in securing that marketplace of the autonomous vehicles for us going forward for our customers. Now, wireless is also obviously one of our key imperatives, and Gord commented on our overall results for the company. From a wireless perspective, we had one of those unique years. It's tough. It's a very competitive environment. But to achieve 480,000 subscriber additions relative to our two largest peers, or if you will, exceed one of our largest competitor by 50% in growth year over year, that's a tough thing to do. So we should feel great about what our team did in 2018. And we just reported this morning results again that were about 100% ahead of where our largest competitor was in the quarter. So we're clearly not only capturing share, but we're growing market share for our business in this important segment for us and for you. One area we had not been, I mentioned this last year to you all, we had not really done well in this segment called prepaid. So we decided we would go into this business segment very aggressively. Different brand, it's very much focused on a low-cost wireless solution, trying to recognize that folks who first immigrate to Canada with our, you know, very progressive immigration policies may not at first have credit status as they arrive in a new country. So by having these prepaid services, it's a market for us if you will, to get people who first arrived in the country establish their credit and then move to these other type of rate plans. We've been very successful here in moving market share, and our sales in the quarter we just announced were up 56% year over year in this category, and that's big numbers for us. You know, our company to see a 56% number in any segment is big. So we really feel that we're on the right track capturing that share. And over time, we hope those clients will migrate from Lucky Mobile up to a product like Virgin or ultimately Bell on the postpaid side. We made a major strategic announcement this morning, on the prepaid side, where Dollarama, a major national retailer, for the first time will enter the wireless industry, and it will be distributing our prepaid services. Just our prepaid service of both Lucky and Virgin Mobile picks up 1,200 additional locations for us, so it helped drive traffic to Dollarama and absolutely hits our target market for this product portfolio. So we're really excited about it, and those stores will be exclusive to the Bell products, these two Bell products, for an extended period of time. Our third imperative is our wireline business, really the historical business, but doesn't look like that historical business anymore when so much of it, of course, is focused on internet. I talked about our investment in internet, so what does the investment turn around to do for us in terms of the customer? And from a customer perspective, we're now offering everyone who's in our fiber footprint speeds of 1.5 gigabits per second. We don't know of another country in the world that's offering every consumer speeds of 1.5 gigabits per second. And we know our largest competitor is 35% slower than we are on a relative basis today. So this technology is making a difference. And, of course, the real question you should ask me, well, where are the results? And, you know, we reported this morning a growth in Internet subscribers of 25% up year over year. And about 51,000 new customers moved to this fiber technology. So we're halfway through the investment journey, but we're already seeing some pretty positive results. We often think about Bell and all these consumer products that we're involved in, but it's important to remind everyone that we also have a very important Bell Business Markets focus. You go across all of Bell's $23 billion of revenue, about $8 billion of our revenue comes from business-to-business relationships, whether or not it's on our wireline side of the company, where we're selling to large organizations, whether it's on mobility, where they're selling solutions like IoT solutions, or all the way to our media business, where we would do $1 billion of revenue with businesses who buy advertising from Bell Media. So right across the spectrum, and we've had a very good start to this year, we reported this morning, and actually had a strong growth last year. And this is a tough segment for us to get growth in because we've had historically and still do today, we enjoy an incredible customer base. You know, these are Canada's brands and they are all clients of Bell's. So the challenge for our team always is don't lose that client and try to grow market share. And those companies, of course, are trying to grow their business and at the same time dealing with all the cost structure challenges in their own enterprises. The great news is those companies now are also recognizing the value of needing fiber to their next retail store, the next bank branch, and competing with all the new technologies that are out there or upgrading government programs. All of that lending itself, we think, to a pretty exciting future for this part of our business. And it has been a little better the last year and a half than we had anticipated. So it's a nice underpinning for us this year. Our fourth imperative is the Bell media folks and our media focus. Absolutely off to a great start this morning, again in the quarter, and I think you will see that in a lot of the coverage of the company. Just to remind everyone, this is clearly the fastest changing area for the company. You know, we've had to evolve all of our TV technologies. We still have satellite TV, generally for us productive in the rural markets in Canada. Our Fibe TV launched in 2010 has just given us the country's leading TV service. And then we did something quite unique in 2018, recognizing the way consumers now are viewing TV and buying TV differently. You can buy a product from us called Alt TV. It's literally like a streaming TV service. You no longer require that set-top box in your premise for this. It's limited to two streams today and very much focused on the condominium markets in the major cities where there'd be younger audiences who are consuming the data and the products in this way. And it's important for us because, quite frankly, we are the largest TV provider now in Canada. If we put this slide up 6 years ago, we would have been roughly where Videotron is. So we've moved to being the number one TV company in the country. We have to change how we deliver that service, given the viewing habits changing. And this morning we reported an increase in TV subscribers for the IPTV product of 54% year over year. So that's the right direction in an area where there's challenge, and a lot of that is driven by this new TV product called Alt TV. And of course, our media business itself is Canada's leading media business. We clearly have the largest television business in the country, the leading national news broadcast every evening at 11, about 2.5 times the viewership of our largest competitor. TSN's number one in sports. We own also the second largest out-of-home advertising company. We have over 30,000 outdoor billboards across the country that are ours. It's called Astral, if you ever notice it on the sign. It doesn't say Bell. We're just not so sure Rogers would advertise on a billboard that said Bell in the corner. So we thought it would be a little smarter to have a little different brand name on those. We're the largest radio broadcaster in the country and clearly number one in specialty TV channels. Nothing, of course, more exciting for us right now, for everyone who's following the Game of Thrones and what it's meaning for us as the broadcaster for HBO with this product that we've launched called Crave. We set an all-time record with 3.3 million viewers. So if everyone to put that in context, that would be maybe 10 or 15% ahead of a normal Stanley Cup final, just to put it in perspective in Canadian context, just how big this really is. So great for us because it's driving our product called Crave and driving the great work that our Bell Media people are doing with creativity, putting these new products in the market and allowing people to consume them in a different way than they have in the past. Same on the sports side. TSN has returned to being the number one sports network now in Canada. Great result across both of our specialty sports. We're now also allowing customers marketing our product direct to consumers who want to subscribe to it over the top, maybe not through the traditional TV method. And, you know, we've got, you look at all these different brands on the table, that one called Basketball is still going. And the nice news is the ratings on that particular product are up about 50% year over year. And, of course, Bell Media, TSN, is in the business of generating revenue off of the number of people who are watching those games. So we'll hope that goes well into the spring for the benefit not just of fans in Toronto, but for the real benefit for you as shareholders and through our ownership of Bell Media. Fifth imperative, and certainly not fifth in terms of importance, as I said, none of them are ranked, is our journey on customer service. You know, and where are we in that journey? And how are we moving the needle when we have 23 million customers? And if 1% of the time we make a mistake, suddenly we have 240,000 people upset with us. And they tell people. And so no matter how much you move that needle, you can only continue to drive improvement, and we have to. And I want everyone in the room to know we've made some dramatic changes at the beginning of this year, even though we've been on a journey for many years, and really saw some significant improvement in the first quarter. And these are different metrics that I'll just call out. If you call us today for a repair, 90% of the time, we will be there this afternoon or tomorrow, which for us is a long way from where we would have been. If you call us, 85% of our clients are now being answered within 20 seconds. 25 million people are now actually visiting and solving their problems without actually directly talking to us for client care. They're using the newer technologies that we've put in place. And, of course, our team members, the satisfaction with our team members, our real ultimate line of defense is what our folks do in the home. And 92% satisfaction in the home with what our team is doing is ultimately what creates the pride for us. We will never be done this journey, never will, and if we're the largest company in the country, and with these technologies, we just will never finish trying to get this better and better, especially when we're using leading technology. Having said that, now I'm really proud this morning that our customer disconnect rate was its lowest that it's been in 15 years that we just reported this morning. Our churn was better, our TV churn was better, our internet churn was better, and for wireless, For Bell's brand, it was the first time under 1% churn, which means less than 1% of our customers left us over any monthly period that quarter. Is the best I have ever seen in my years at Bell. So we're on the right track, not done the journey, and there are always stories, and we've got to keep dealing with them, but it's moving where we want. Now, another brand we own, which I think everyone in the room knows, but we are actually also Virgin Mobile. It's our Bell folks who provide all that service. It also now just won for the third year in a row as the number one carrier for customer service. So it was outvoted by customers as better than Bell, also better than Telus, better than Rogers, better than any of our peers. So for 3 years in a row, that brand, which is run by the same folks who run our other Bell brands, was number one in customer service. And so tremendous work on behalf of the team and for that brand for us. And it's an important brand for us in our wireless business. Now, one of our other imperatives, of course, is making sure with this evolving technology that we stay competitive in the marketplace from a cost perspective and making sure we have the margins required to make the fiber investments we are doing. And there's a lot written about this in the community, but I would say this to our shareholders. Without the margins that we are generating through cost discipline, we would not be able to make the fiber investments that we're making. There is a reason in the United States why AT&T and Verizon have much less fiber investment than we do. And it's because we have run from a cost perspective, producing these margins different than they are allows us this headroom to provide this fiber. So you always have to keep in mind when you see our cost journey in the company, it is truly to allow us to make these cash investments that we're making in these technologies. You know, this year your company will invest about $4 billion of capital again. It will be the same next year, and it will be the same the year after, and the year after. The next 5 years, it will be probably close to another $20 billion of capital investment that we will make. And we need these margins to make those investments and provide Canadians these services. Now, I want to wrap up with two quick points. One, obviously, you're here for one very important reason. Your shareholders and Gord commented on that. We go back, and why does Gord comment on 10 years ago, and why do we? It's really when we laid out those strategic imperatives. So we measure ourselves against those strategic imperatives, and you should measure us against that as well. And we laid out a strategy to be able to raise the dividend for you, hopefully every year, at approximately 5%. And we've done that through the 11 years, and you've seen the return that Gord talked about this morning of over 300% during that period of time. And so, you know, let's hope we can continue to do that. I always find this an interesting point to look at. 1 year ago today, well, it was actually last year's annual meeting was the 28th, but a year to today, you see our stock has performed reasonably well compared to our peers and consistent with what we want to do with our dividend growth. It's allowed us to see these type of returns for shareholders. And we talked about our overall return through that journey relative to our peers in the marketplace. I think we're holding our own. No guarantees for tomorrow. Obviously, we all know that, but if we can continue to execute this strategy, who knows? Maybe we'll be able to put a slide up in 10 years with 300% again. But obviously, it's just about for you making sure we keep our head down, execute, and produce the cash flow growth that we have to allow for the dividend increase. So the last point I want to wrap up with is, you know, one of our the prides, of course, of Bell has been being in Canada since 1880. Always recognizing we have a responsibility to give back to the community. I think, and we have done that for many, many years. One area where I think we're particularly proud of is the launch of the Bell Let's Talk program 10 years ago, where Bell would, with its brand, start a conversation around mental health in Canada and start to recognize that there was an area of public health that we weren't talking about that had a stigma attached to it. I think we all at Bell are proud of it and would have to admit it's become much bigger than we ever thought it would be, maybe underlying just how important this cause is. Over that 10 years, with the support of our board of directors, therefore indirectly you, we have funded now over $100 million of programs in the country. 900 different organizations from coast to coast to coast have received funding. And that journey continues, and we're making a difference in people's lives. So although all the excitement is around Bell Let's Talk Day, when Canadians speak volumes about this cause, it's what we do between that that really makes the difference in lives. And as I've done in the past, I just want to take a minute, run the video for you that captures the excitement in Canada this year around Bell Let's Talk, how Canadians made a difference, and how it's making a difference in people's lives. So if we could just run the video, please.
Each year on Bell Let's Talk Day, Canadians can use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk to support mental health initiatives across the country. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Another record-breaking Bell Let's Talk Day. Two new milestones for mental health in Canada. Canadians from coast to coast to coast join the mental health conversation, talking, texting, and engaging on social media.
If somebody is struggling, what would you say to them?
You're going to get back to being your whole self if you accept that you have a mental illness and you need to get help to recover from it.
After 9 years, Canadians and people around the world have sent more than a billion messages of support for mental health.
Over 1 billion interactions since the campaign first began.
What it says is that there are people all over the world engaging on this topic that only 10 years ago nobody wanted to talk about.
Many voices, one goal: ending stigma in our lifetime.
Mental health affects us all.
Un Canadien sur cinq va être touché par la maladie mentale dans sa vie. Un Canadien sur cinq.
The fact that we're talking about it today is a huge step, but we can go so much further.
On January 30th, 2019, Canadians and people around the world took action in schools, workplaces, and communities everywhere.
Today is hashtag Bell Let's Talk Day.
5 cents for every text, call, tweet, and social media video view.
Pour chaque interaction sur Twitter, sur Snapchat, sur Instagram, pour chaque texto, Bell va remettre 5 sous à des organismes de santé mentale.
And they talked, sending over 145 million messages of support. And those simple actions mean Bell is investing an additional $7.2 million, bringing its total commitment to Canadian mental health to just over $100 million. And where do the funds go? To support vitally important work done by mental health organizations across the country.
These funds will help us build the capacity to better sustain ourselves and ensure that the lights and doors stay open.
All of the different ways that young people need support, whether it's this moment, 3 a.m, any time, any day, Kids Help Phone is available. And that's because of our incredible relationship with Bell over all of these years.
We came together with our friends, our loved ones, our colleagues, and our communities.
It's an illness that chooses us. We don't choose it.
I think it would have been life-changing for me to hear someone a little bit older than me, someone who looks like me, talk openly about their struggles and what they're going through.
How are they ever going to heal? How are they ever going to get better as long as they're feeling shamed for it?
We spoke with one voice and moved one step closer to a stigma-free Canada and a society that treats mental health just like physical health.
When you break your leg, you carry that on the outside. Mental health carry on the inside.
Même si tout semble parfait,
plusieurs souffrent en silence.
Today, join the conversation. Let's talk.
This is the difference a billion actions make. This is the difference it makes when we talk.
Hey, noi.
Vamos hablar.
Yegiashida.
Parliamo.
Pudan. Let's talk.
So something we are very proud to be a part of, something we're so proud the Board of Directors supports us and therefore indirectly you. We know we make a difference in people's lives every day with technology. It's really nice one day a year to just pause and make a difference a different way. With that, thank you for your support as shareholders. We are very conscious of our responsibilities for you. We're executing the strategy and look forward to seeing you at future shareholder meetings. All the best. Thank you, George, for that excellent and very encouraging report. I will now call upon Mr. Bertrand Gellet to read the results of the scrutineer's preliminary tabulations of today's votes. The scrutineer's report in final form will be available shortly after the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The scrutineers confirmed the following preliminary vote results. All director nominees received at least 94% votes for. Approximately 96% of votes are favorable to the appointment of Deloitte as auditors, and the advisory resolution on executive compensation is approved by approximately 87.5%.
Thank you, Bertrand. I can therefore confirm that all directors nominees are elected, that Deloitte LLP is appointed as auditors, and the advisory resolution on executive compensation is approved. We are now ready to open the floor to questions and to comments. If you have questions or comments related to our services, a customer service booth has been set up in the hall just outside the room, where our service representatives will be there to assist you. Also, if you have any questions regarding shareholder services, you may go to the registration booths in the hall where representatives of our stock transfer agent, AST, will also be able to assist you. Since there are many shareholders present, to respect the right of shareholders to have the opportunity to be heard today, we ask that you limit the time of each question or comment to a maximum of 2 minutes. Please first state your name before stating your question or comment and indicate if you are a shareholder or a proxy shareholder. I now open the question and comment period and ask that our President and Chief Executive Officer, George Cope, once again take to the podium. The floor is now open.
Well, the chair will.
Yes, microphone number two.
My name is Bob James. I was a Bell employee for 33 years. I'm a pensioner. I would like to thank the board, and in particularly Mr. Cope, for the great job you're doing on the pension fund. It's almost 100% funded, and that's to your credit. Second, and I did enjoy every 33 years.
Thank you.
The next thing, though, is customer service. Unfortunately, we had a situation where we were in Arizona for 3 months, had our services on temporary suspension, and found out we were being billed for our internet. Even though it was cut off, it took a letter, an email, to Mr. Cope's office to get a full refund of $315 for the 3 months. The customer service was not good. And secondly, I unfortunately have been forced to go to Rogers because I cannot get unlimited data at Musselman Lake, which is less than a 30-minute drive from downtown Toronto. Rogers is presently installing fiber in our community, and I can't get unlimited data because I'm on Bell Mobility, and the limit is 40 gigs. I have a security system on our 70-acre property that streams data continually, and a year ago we got a one-month bill for $285 data because we didn't know this thing was continually on there. So I've been forced to go to Rogers, and I must say their customer service really impressed me. And Bell has a problem, whether, you know, that's my opinion, and it's my experience. Secondly, thirdly, we have purchased an 82-inch big screen TV from the source. And the rigmarole we went through there, because I was in Arizona, apparently my IP address was a U.S., placed the order with a MasterCard Canadian, a Canadian address, got a notice saying, your order's on hold, call us. The number was blocked from the U.S. I couldn't call. I had to go do the end run, get corporate, and we had quite a battle with them and finally got this thing straightened out. And then they delivered it. I paid $50 extra for a large item. They sent one man in a 5-ton steak truck with a elevator tailgate. And how is he supposed to carry an 82-inch big screen TV, which I personally lifted with my wife, and it was a struggle. My son was there to meet him, and it was only because of that that they got it in. But they did refund that $50 after we called. Anyways, there are problems here, and unfortunately I've been forced to go to Rogers for my internet and TV, even though I have Bell still, because I'm still paying for the PVRs, which I couldn't buy outright. Thank you.
Thank you for the comments. I think on the Rogers Unlimited would be completely news to me if it's wireless. Something tells me it's fixed. And so we'd have to take a look at the difference on the marketplace. In terms of the some of the other comments, we'll take them away. I talked about the journey on the service. Actually, everyone in the room has to know our metrics moved dramatically in the right direction. There's no doubt the lowest customer churn rate we've had in 15 years. We know we're moving that direction the right way. The Arizona suspension, I can't really, it's very hard for me to comment on how, between you being away and not. The only one I would say, the source one from the U.S., I get it. I know what that would have been. And that probably would be around this whole fraud thing. We're struggling with so much as people are traveling. And I know for all of us, the moment we're with us, our credit card, it can be a pain. So that one I kind of get. We're probably truly doing that one to you. But on the other ones, it's the journey that we're on. So thank you. And thank you for your support as a shareholder.
We'll go to number one, then to three, and then back to two. So number one.
Mark Alter, shareholder. I've been a shareholder for probably about 30 years now.
Thank you.
25 years ago, Bell introduced the chip card, la carte la puce. And these quick change cards were 70,000 payphones within Ontario and Quebec. Very usable, very portable, very available. In a pre-cell phone area, it was wonderful. There were two facets. There was the use, and there were the collector's side. Collectors were made promises and commitments by Bell, which fell apart virtually at the time, which was raised with John Sheridan, who was COO at the time, that collectors were promised that we would receive all cards that were issued, which would have been set aside from the issues with private companies. That fell apart with the Toronto Maple Leafs, where a card was issued but not made available to collectors. Collectors were forced to go into a secondary market to buy cards if they wished to have complete collections. Darnell in Montreal, Lise Darnell, was operating the Bell Collectors Club, and as the club progressed, she was allowed to strip the value off the cards so that she got the face value back, and then take the cards and flood the market with the residual pieces of plastic. Now, as the world has progressed, Bell raised its payphone charges to 50 cents, understandable cost of doing business. Then the payphones started vanishing, so that even those of us who have the cards have a problem using them, finding valid readers. Lise Darnell was granted the opportunity to remove the money from her cards in her inventory and crash a market, whereas we as collectors have thousands and thousands of dollars worth of these that Bell has had our money since they were purchased. Is there any way that we as customers can redeem these cards for services?
So, first of all, thank you for the comments. We'll have to take that one off to the
side. I understand.
To understand the card purchase, when you did it, and because they clearly not a core of what we're obviously dealing with today, but clearly you've been a very loyal customer and shareholder for many years.
But what
so
I'm
let's take
is
this away and see what we can start
reality.
Out. And on the payphone side, it is.
And I'm
one of the,
that as an issue.
Yeah, one of the facts for us for sure is, and shareholders need to know, we don't make any money on payphones anymore. They're really there as a social good. And I know you don't pay us to do social good things. You pay us to drive the shares. But we will definitely take the conversation offline and see if we can help you.
My plaza where I live had three payphones. It wasn't that they removed one or two. They removed all three last year.
No, I absolutely understand
ridiculous.
Your point. No, I understand your
where
point.
Where even in my own area, I can't use them.
Yeah, no. Well, why don't we take it offline and see if we can help you with the card issue and understand it better.
If somebody could.
Yeah, they will. Absolutely, for sure. Thank you for your comments and your support over the years.
Microphone number three.
Good morning. My name is Adele Trudy Craker. I've been a shareholder for a long time, not back to 1880, though. I'm happy to see the number of women on the board. You still have a long way to go. I looked at your perspective, and you talk about achieving the target of 30% non-executive females.
Right.
I looked at your executive list. There's no first names. How many of those are female? If any.
Yeah, in our company VP, we have about 150 VPs across all Bell, and we're at about, I'll make sure Bernie keep me right on, 33 to 35% roughly are women, and the work we're doing is very hard and very committed on getting ourselves on a goal to ultimately get to 50%, so we're at 35 of the most senior roles. Our new grad program, which I think ultimately feeds this most importantly, it's 50-50 coming in to the company now. And at our director level, which is just below VP, it's trying to make sure our next gen ready for VP is 50-50 within our entire mandate. So at the VP level, so at the senior level, you would think about our company has about 150 vice presidents all the way up to myself. That's what we would call our senior vice president team. We're about 30 to 35% today, and we want to get to 50. So hear you completely and could not agree more how much it helps us competitively in the marketplace.
Okay, I'm glad to see you're at 35%. I thought that maybe the 30% that you mentioned in your brochure was set back in 1880.
No, and on the board, we've made a commitment to be through 30%. We're already there, but I can assure you, as you look at our board succession plans going forward, I'd be very surprised if that number weren't through 40% over the next couple of years.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, we'll now go back to microphone number two.
My name is Eid Atiyah. I'm a shareholder maybe for 30 years or more. And first of all, I know Mr. George Kubba. He done a wonderful job, and I'd like to shake hands with everybody. He's done a wonderful job since he started. Now, anytime you have the meeting here in Toronto, I attend. So I don't know if you take it next year to Montreal. I will not be there. Any case, I think I asked him in the beginning why you treat your existing customer the same like the new marketing customer. Get phone call, you get this and this and this for so much, half the price which I pay. So I discussed it with him, he's going to have somebody. The second part is, which I have in my question, I have a business and I'd like to be able to look to it in my phone, so you are short of the security service to sell it to me and other people. I hope he can get somebody to talk to me, how I can be able to be here and have somebody watching my quarry or something, what's going on. And then the other one here, like the innovation. And then my problem is still when I'm in the condo in Aurelia, my phone doesn't work. And I try many times with Bill why my phone cannot work where I live in the condo. And I say, it's a concrete building. Get Roger because Roger have better service there. And I'm stubborn. I say, I'm a shareholder, and I'm not going to go with Roger.
We appreciate that. Somewhere.
The other part of it, now you heard me today say Abdul Rama, Virgin, this and this, you should treat your customer better than your one. The last thing, which nobody mentioned here, I'm a chemist, a microbiologist, and everything you name it, and I was in the health business. There are a lot of rumors, that the phone with the radiation will cause some health problem. Are you going to somewhere tell, don't have the phone close to your heart, close to this? Are you going to be protecting the people, or are you going to be quiet about it until something jump? And I'm sure you must have heard this before. Is this radiation with the W5 and W this and this going to affect us or not? And thank you for your attention. I'll talk to some people from the service to address the other issue I have.
Thank you for the questions, the kind comments, and then let me start at the back end of your question. In terms of health standards, our number one thing we have to do, and we will always do a bell, is whatever the health standards are that the Canadian government has set for any of our products, we always make sure our products are within those guidelines. And if those guidelines ever change, then our product portfolios will have to change around it. So this is the type of question you're talking about is absolutely set by Health Canada and globally across the world. And the products we sell are actually well below any of those guidelines that are set on these products. And that's what I think that's what you'd expect from us. And that's what we will always do. Let's take offline the phone issue. I think it's probably your wireless you're talking about, not your wireline. So let's just understand where the coverage is. But we'll take that offline. I think Gordon might be a better thing to do there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Microphone number one.
Thank you. My name is Pamela Boulanger. I have been a shareholder for a very long time. I'm seriously considering selling it, if I can, for the simple reason you're talking about how wonderful customer service is. Mr. Cope, I've spoken to you about this many times, and you said, thank you, it's very legit, we'll look into it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what I've been seeing, no, either you haven't or your employees are ignoring you. And I think a lot of people here will agree with me, when you call 411, I have yet to hear either somebody talking like me or from Quebec or whatever, and I will say, Where am I speaking to? I get a lot of Philippines. I get a lot of Sri Lanka. The rudeness is unbelievable. And it's getting to the point where I would really, if I could, get on the computer and look through the information myself. This is Bell Canada. Why do we not have a call center in Canada? Thank you. Thank you. I, speaking 40 years ago, applied to your business office on Adelaide. I was hired, and then they kept cutting us back to one day a week, and when you have rent to pay, that's pretty bad. Ready for your answer?
Sure. First of all, thank you for the comments. And, you know, we handle 70 million calls a year in the organization, and I think very clearly said we know some don't go the way we want them to go. There's no doubt about it. But we also can only rely on real numbers and results on all this journey, and we want to get the 99.99, not at 98 or 99. In terms of in Canada, we have many, many call centers in Canada. We have 55,000 employees. We have calls that are sometimes answered in other places in the world, but just, I heard the applause, people in the room, we have many employees in Canada, and we also have many firms that are contracted by us that also work in Canada that take thousands and thousands and thousands of calls for us. So as I said, when we said our employee base in Canada, the number we gave, that was 1,375 of Canadians working. Plus, we do some offshore work as well. We do it around the world. Anyone being rude, no matter where they are in the world, in Canada or anywhere else, is unacceptable. And we probably wouldn't say that's discriminated by where you're making the call. It's human behavior and has to be polite for our customers. So thank you.
Microphone number three.
My name is Scott Bradley. I'm a shareholder. To the board, and especially yourself, George, thank you for leadership and direction you have provided during your tenure. It's an unmatched accomplishment. I wish I had quadrupled my investment in 2008. On April 15th, Bell announced the surplus of 78 technicians within the Bell Craft Unit. The surplus began on Good Friday, April 19th. Those days did not get better for those employees. 1 week later, their surplus was suspended, leaving those 78 in limbo as to their future. The employees are the best in their class, dedicated. I would like to know why, as a shareholder, it was necessary in a company that's reporting unbelievable profits that you had to affect the lives of 78 people and that alternatives could not have been found, such as reducing contracted out work that these employees could have done, or offering Bell's new wireless to the home to those 1.2 million customers that we're going to be offering it to. The employees have since been recalled during the last week. Secondly, the entire process was not handled well, affecting the mental health of those employees. Will you make a commitment to ensure that any future surplus initiatives are handled differently should they ever arise? And as an employee at Bell, I would encourage the board and yourself, Mr. Cope, to reach out to us as employees to how we can move the company forward. I think the employee survey is great. I participate in it. But we need that grassroots meetings with yourself and the board. Come and listen to us, what we can do to make your company better, our company better. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the comments. And there is nothing more painful that we do in the organization if we're dealing with cost restructuring. The very specific one you caught out, as you know, with some, we think, some productive discussions between ourselves and some of the leadership, maybe found a little better solution for everyone involved in that very specific area. And so I won't go into the details in this room, but I think it's something we're working very hard to try to see if we can accommodate some of those issues. Having said that, and you know, be very transparent, there have definitely been, over time, people impacted through our cost structure and organization. And it will, I think, continue to be a fact of life. The best thing to help us against that is to try to grow this top-line revenue and make sure we stay as productive as we can. In terms of seeing the employees and team members, you know, I'll take it away, but, you know, just for our shareholders to know, you know, I travel to 13 cities every year and spend 2.5 hours on a roadshow where every employee in the country is welcome and attended. And we get to about half the team members show. Of course, it can be a busy day, and we can have folks out on doing their work and doing installs, but we do try through many different methods for the room to know, to talk to every team member that we possibly can. And 55,000 is a lot, but we're using all these new technologies to try to do it. So thank you for the comments. Microphone number two.
My name is Austin Telfer, shareholder for 40, 50 years. It's always puzzling to me to figure out why is it so expensive, more expensive to make a long-distance call through Bell than other service provider. For example, say it's more expensive to make a call to Oshawa from here than to make a long-distance call to England. This is just an example. I could give you other examples. So I'm just wondering, why is it is so expensive through this service?
Well, first of all, thank you again. The shareholder group's incredible. It's a very loyal group. So in terms of this, she talked to you specifically online about that very specific product, because we have many different packages now in the long-distance world that I think would resolve the issue you're raising, but we should take that offline and just make sure. But in terms of overall, it's also a theme sometimes about Canadian telecom prices versus other countries, and our answer to that generally is some of our products are actually less expensive than other areas of the world. The other side is Canadians have shown an unbelievable appetite for broadband. So when we're offering speeds to Canada that are twice as fast as other places in the world, that's because of the investment. And for the shareholders in the room, we can't make the investment without some balance on the revenue. So always step back and look at BCE in total and say, we grew our revenue 2% last year, just slightly over the inflation rate. So on balance, we have some portfolios, we have a little bit of pricing power, other we have none. Long distance would be a great example where we definitely want to talk to you in the hallway about understanding what the difference is on your long distance package today and see if we can help you. Be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone number three.
Hi, my name is Faisal Zaidi. I'm a shareholder and an employee. I'm not sure if I'm an employee right now or not, because I was the one of those 76 people who were laid off. And I was treated like a criminal. I wasn't allowed to take my stuff from upstairs. My manager and my second level manager, they treated me like shit. I was kicked out, and I wasn't told what my fault was.
Well, that's
I'm mentally ill right now. You need to help me. And now they recall me and tell me that, we have no reason to lay you off. I was surplus for what reason? Mm-hmm. I have two kids. How do I answer to them? How? Mm-hmm. What do I tell my wife? What do I do? Help me. Is that what Belvedere Stout means? Is that what you did to 76 people? I have nothing against you. I have against you guys are promoting diploma mentality people, and they're taking over, and they don't want people like me, who have full education, who are talented, to go up. That's the problem you have in this company. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you for the comment. I think it's no one can personally comment on someone who's been asked to not work here anymore. So I think your emotions and your comment, we're just going to have to respect them. Thank you.
Microphone number two.
Yes, on the 5G network, can you comment on Huawei, or is there an alternative? I mean,
yeah, on Huawei.
Huawei. What
yeah, sure. I'll make some comments on that. It's a rather significant topic. So let me make a couple of things for all of our shareholders to understand. We've used Huawei's equipment for many years in what's called not the core of our wireless network. So outside the core, we use it in what's called our radio access layer. Just for everyone in the room, separate core from being, think about it as kind of the heart of the network or the brains of the network, to the external. We use that today in our 4G wireless, have forever, as we use other vendors, and it is fantastic technology. We will follow whatever decisions are made globally for the next generation of technology. We ourselves are 100% comfortable that if we continued on the journey we're on, which is not using that particular company's technology in the core, some of these concerns that people are worried about with global issues would not exist because we would not use it in our core. Having said that, we won't make that final decision. That will be made in Ottawa, and it will be made around the world, and we'll obviously have to respect how that moves forward. But as shareholders, you should be 100% comfortable meeting all the regulations, not using the product in the core, and it is a tremendous supplier to us where we want to use that technology, recognizing how security is important to our clients and our responsibilities. So thank you actually for asking the question. It is a hot topic and will be a hot topic for a while, for sure. That's microphone number one. Sorry. Hopefully.
Yes, hello. Okay. I'm Beth DiCarlo. I'm a shareholder for many years. I just have a question about, since I've had a smartphone, I'm told that if somebody were to call me long distance from the States, I would have to pay for that call too. And when I had my own landline, that didn't exist. Whoever placed the call paid for the call. So if I have a friend in the States who's calling me on my smartphone, I have to pay as well, even though I didn't place the call, and I don't understand that.
Okay, so what we should do is let's take this offline for you very specifically. There's a distinction in how you're asking the question. That's why I want to take it offline. On the long distance piece, that would not actually register in our room, is that we would be charging you for that. On using the phone and wireless, of course, once you go outside the amount of usage we provide per month, that's part of your usage. But I think what we should do here for you is talk to you after offline, because it's a very detailed, specific question.
Okay. I just wonder around. Why. That's...
Yeah, and so let's do that for you.
Okay.
Thank you for the question. Great.
Okay. I see no further questions. Firstly, I'd like to thank everyone for their participation in the meeting and good questions, and I know a number will be followed up. I would also just like, in closing, on behalf of the board and his shareholders, to thank George, his management team, many who are here, and the employees at Bell and BC. It is a remarkable organization. As you hear from the questions, no organization is perfect, but I can tell you the work that goes in, day out, to make sure that we're a leader, whether it's financial results or social impact, employees. There's a tremendous effort that's put in. And on behalf of the board and shareholders, thank you to the management team, to George, and to the employees of Bell. I'd also like to thank everybody for attending today's annual meeting, and again, for your participation in the meeting. As a final thing, we'd ask you to leave your headsets on the seats before leaving the auditorium. So I declare the meeting closed, and thank you again. Thank you.